Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So it's been 3 games now in the new La Liga season, and Atleti have 7 points and they have done quite well. And after, on the day of recording this, it's not been long since Atleti kind of had their biggest away win ever in La Liga, which is fantastic. So we are going to be talking about all of that, and the deadline day of the transfer window is approaching, and we have, I think, less than 48 hours. So we are going to be talking about the possible departures and arrivals. And we are also going to be previewing Atleti's clash against Sevilla. So joining me to talk about all of this is a guy I respect so much, a guy who is knowledgeable about La Liga, despite the fact that he is a fan of Brighton. So, Kelf, welcome once again to the podcast. How are you doing?
Thank you very much. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Well, I'm good, but I'm sure you are more excited than I am, because I think there's a good news for Brighton which will be announced anytime soon.
Hopefully a certain Ansu Fati is coming on loan for the season, which is crazy. That's great news for us, but even better news for you guys for a fantastic start for the season.
Yeah, for sure. It's been a great start to the season, despite the a result which Atleti did not want, which is the 0-0 draw in Seville against Betis. But we all know the Estadio Benito Villamarín is not an easy ground to visit, because you kind of have the fans, and then you also have Betis, who are a very good team, and they were one of the teams who could have made it to the Champions League last season, because they were in the race for Champions League places but kind of fell off towards the end of the season. So they have a good team, and Pellegrini has been there for a while, which means he has kind of installed his ideas in his players and everything. So while we're raising it in it, let's just jump right to it. So Kel, from on match day one, you have Atleti playing against Granada. You have kind of mixed feelings, because you have Atleti playing, but they did not do so well, but they kind of did enough to get over the line, because I think Atleti were good enough. And then a certain someone scored for Granada, Samu Omorodion. Mm-hmm. And later, days later, you have Atleti signing him. And then on match day two against Betis, was not so good. And one of the things you could see from match day one and match day two was the fact that Atleti were fatigued. And you'll be surprised that the season is starting and Atleti are fatigued. But it was down to their poor preseason they had. You have traveling from Madrid to Korea, from Korea back to Mexico, which is like maybe traveling from one end of the world to the other, and then from Korea to San Francisco, from San Francisco back to Madrid. So you kind of have not really a very good preseason, because you have a lot of traveling, and that kind of affected Atleti's start to the season. But with excuses aside, Kelf, what's your opinion on how Atleti has started this season? Because you said it was fantastic. result-wise, but what's your opinion on the performances?
Well, I agree with you in terms of the performances. The performance against Granada wasn't great as a team, but it's I don't think it's easy to play against a newly promoted team, because they carry the momentum from doing well in the second division or in the Segunda from the year before. Granada, I thought, played quite well. It was competitive, but most top clubs have a crazy pre-season like what you just mentioned. So I think it is what it is. It's accepted now. It's not ideal, but most top clubs do it. So it kind of evens itself out over the course of the season. Yeah, I don't think the performance against Granada was great. I thought Azpilicueta as an individual played very well. And I was a bit nervous when Atleti signed him. But I think if Simeone uses him in the back three, I think you've got a fantastic addition. In the game against Betis, it was a very even game. A draw was a fair result. I don't think Atleti played well in the first half. They were much better in the second half when Simeone made a couple of changes. And I'm just trying to remember. I think Barrios came on and played very, very well. Gave them more control, allowed Depaul to play higher up the pitch, which I think is important. And yeah, you guys had chances and on another day would have won it. And against Rayo, Rayo were poor, but you lot were absolutely brilliant. From the first minute, you were on it, aggressive, doing the right things on the ball. That was the Saul of 5-6 years ago. Molina was brilliant, who's, in my opinion, the best right back in La Liga. I think I said it on my Twitter thing after the game. The only Atleti player that didn't really play well was Carrasco at Rayo. Everyone else was fantastic. Even the subs that came on, whether it was Morata, Correa, and one or two others that came on, they were just brilliant. And the performances have been okay across the three games, but you don't want to start the season brilliantly. You want to build up to it. And I think Atleti, and the most important thing for me is you guys have kept the same style from the last 6 months of last season, because we've all been here before where Simeone's gone and ended the season well, ripped everything up, tried to start again, and it's all collapsed pretty quickly, where that's not going to be the case. And I'm very confident in saying that. I know you have some doubts, but you guys will be title contenders. And I actually think you guys will go quite deep into the Champions League as well.
Well, Kev, like you've rightly said, Atleti they've done well, the result-wise and also performance-wise. Like, it's not been bad, but it's been okay. And in the Granada game, like you said, it's difficult playing against a newly promoted team because you have that momentum which comes with promotion, and you also have a little bit of unpredictability. Even though they have played friendly matches, but most of the times, newly promoted sides kind of buy a lot of new players, and it's not easy playing against them. And that game was really quite brilliant from Paco Lopez, because you have him mirroring Atleti's 5-3-2 in and out of possession, but with a little bit of difference, because what he did was he went, like when Atleti are playing, like you have they kind of went for like a man-oriented press, and then it's like everybody's man for man. But the difference was the fact that the center backs, that's the white center backs of Granada, were not like proactive to jump. And then you also have in possession, you have Melendo, he was like the free man, and that caused Atleti problems, because it was easy for Granada to find him and in those little pockets of spaces. Because it was really amazing to see what Paco Lopez did in that game, because when I said he went mirror what Atleti did, you have Caleon as a wing back, and you know Caleon is a winger who is a very good dribbler. So it was kind of amazing. Then you have Samu, who is now an Atleti player, has been loaned out to Alaves, acting as maybe their own free player in Griezmann, but with different characteristics and different roles. It was quite good. And in the Betis game, I think the heat was one of the factors, because you have a team who is like fatigued, mm-hmm. and they are playing under condition. It was not easy. Because you could see in the first half, I was like surprised, because the team were pressing and you have certain players who were like coming late. Like, for example, there was a sequence in the first half where Griezmann, Memphis and Lima are pressing, and then they are like separated from the rest of the team. And then you have players jumping late. For example, you know when there's a pressing trigger, what happens? It's like everyone is active. But now you have players running, jumping late, and especially Depaul in that game. And for a team like Betis, whose game is mostly focused on those overloads on the wide areas, it was quite easy for them to like progress. But I think they were like four sequences where they were able to bypass Atletico's press on the wing and finding a free man, because what happens? You have players jumping late. I think in the first chance they created in the game, which I think fullback shot just went wide. You have Depot jumping late. In the second half, they created three similar occasions. Two were productive. The other one came out from a corner kick. So I think the heat kind of affected everything. And Cholo kind of even said in his post-match press conference, which was like, at halftime, we told the guys that it's true that the temperatures are not favorable, but we want you to run. And then you have the game changer, which was Pablo Barrios. Him coming on to that game kind of changed everything, because if you maybe watch a compilation of him from the game, you have him being aggressive, his timing at which he jumped, and you have him instigating the press, which is something Koke usually does. So that was kind of fantastic. And then in the game against Rayo, you have Aleti continuing the way they played the second half, and they were like a lot of press, which was great to see them press high, a lot of energy and intensity. And like you said, Rayo kind of made a mess, but Aleti was really good. And it was quite good because Aleti were clinical. And we have complained about Morata, and Cholo said he is expecting Morata to have an 18 goals a season, and Morata is already on, I think that's two goals now. So that's fantastic. So a lot of positive energy from Aleti in the start of the season, because like you said, they have built on. The first game was not so good, but it was the good over the line. The game against Betis first half was very poor. Second half, a different game. A perfect game, but a very good game against Rayo. So Kevu and some, you said you were, everyone was good except Carrasco. That is true. And we are going to touch on him later, because it's as if his head was not in Madrid, but his head was in Saudi Arabia. So Kevu, from the opening three games, who are those players you have impressed you the most?
A lot, really. Barrios is probably the main one, but again, I'm not going to say that was a surprise. We spoke on a couple of occasions about Barrios last year, and I was frustrated that he wasn't getting minutes, because I could see the talent that he had. You've perfectly stated what he's excellent at, not just, as you said, knowing when to press and to close down and to be aggressive. But I think, and the thing is on the ball, I mean, in the Betis game, he played an incredibly beautiful defence-splitting pass. I think it might have been either to Griezmann or to Depaul. I can't remember who it was to, but he has the ability to open teams up. I think that in your current system, that role in front of the back three is perfect for him. I know that we're going to talk about whether Atleti should go into the market, because we know Simeone wants another defensive midfielder. I don't think he should at all. I think Koke and Barrios in those roles, perfect. You don't need to touch anything with that. I think, as I mentioned earlier, I think Azpilicueta, when he has played, has been very good on the right as a right centre-back in the back three. I think in the back three, another player who I really like in a back three is Mario Hermoso. I think he's brilliant on the ball. We saw it against Rayo for the second goal. He drives forward, he drives into space, plays a beautiful pass down the line for Saul, who crosses it for Memphis. Hermoso, I think, in a back three is brilliant and has started the season well, because he needed to. He's had a couple of difficult seasons. And I think because you're playing a more possession-based game, you get the best out of Rodrigo De Paul, who's fantastic on the ball. His ability to open teams up, he sets up Griezmann with a cross, and his he's not great off the ball. He's not as good off the ball as the others, but you as a team, you retain the ball and keep it better when De Paul's on it. He makes the right decision more often than not, and he just gives a sense of calmness, I think, when he's on the ball. Everyone realises the talent he has. And it was good to see Molina come back in against Rayo. As I mentioned earlier, he's probably the best right back in La Liga. He's crucial to the way you play on the right side. And if Molina can stay fit, as we've seen from the end of last season, and as we saw on Monday, he can add goals as well.
Well, Kev, that's actually a good list of players you have listed. And it's actually incredible because the players you listed is also the same players I have. And Depot has been the top of my list. In my opinion, he has been amongst one of the best midfielders in La Liga this season. I know the season just started, but he has been, and his performances have been very good, because in that right interior where Llorente shined through the title winning season, he has been performing fantastic there, because like you said, Aleti having returning the ball more kind of bring the best out of him, because we know his best ability comes when he is to open up defensive with different with splitting defense splitting passes like the one he gave, assist he gave for Molina against Rayo for Atleti's third goal. So we are kind of seeing the best version of Depot because an environment has been created for him to bring the best out of him. I think that's an aspect of the game where I think many fans ignore, because you have players and players are human beings, and like, and which means they are animals. And you know, when an animal is in his natural habitat where he feels comfortable, or a habitat where he knows he can actually be productive, what happens? You actually see results. And that's actually the case with Depot at the moment, because he's playing a role or has a role in the team, which is kind of, it's true, defensively you have to do the job, but on the ball he has more responsibility, as we saw Griezmann assist, Molina assist, and that is fantastic. As for Barrios, well, he's been great, and like you said, last season you were frustrated that he did not have a lot of minutes, and I was coming to his defense that maybe they are managing him more, but he has shown that he can take the initiative, and though he has been incredible in the last two games he has played on and off the ball, but against Rayo, I think he showed signs of maturity, and there were also signs that he still has a lot to improve in some of his decision-making and passes, because you have a scenario in the second half where he's trying to, like, do, I think, maybe a little bit of showboating, and then he loses the ball and Rayo has a chance to score, and you have Savi speaking to him and, like saying, tranquilo, something of that sort, the game is not finished, next time, all those type of things. So I think he is growing, and what a perfect opportunity for him to grow alongside Koke, which in my opinion is a guy I think Barrios is going to inherit a lot from, maybe a future captain of Atleti and the rest. And you talk about Molina, who has been the best midfielder in La Liga since January, which is fantastic for Atleti. And then it's like Cholo has a team who he is happy with, and it's like the players who are coming off the bench, you know, they want to be starting and they are trying to prove a point, because you have Atleti's bench is kind of fantastic, and the depth this season is just so incredible. So, Kev, before we move on to talk about Carrasco's departure and the transfers, tactically, what has stand out for you in the first three games?
Well, the main thing that stood out for me is for the fact that, as I mentioned earlier, he's actually kept things quite similar from the end of last season. Because we know, as if we've been here in the past with Cholo, where he ends a season well and then he decides to revert back, or he decides to do something different. So the fact that he's kept the 3-5-2 shape, and the fact that you guys are playing from the back a little bit more, not all the time, but there's a bit more of a balance, which is good, because then the opposition then has to not only plan to press you high, but they have to think, well, if Atleti, they can go long, they can go wider to the wing backs, or a lot, actually, what a lot of teams do now. Oblak, let's just say for example, Oblak rolls it to Hermoso, and then Hermoso will go direct, which you guys do more when Morata plays, which is understandable because of Morata's aerial presence, and the good thing is that I think you're adapting better, because you realise we can't really go long with Memphis, so we have to play with it more on the floor, and with Griezmann having the freedom to go where he wants and be like, well, the space is on the right, so I can drop to the right, or I can drop into midfield. And as you said earlier, the desire to keep pressing high up the pitch, because usually in the past it would be you do it for a bit and then sit back. But against Betis, as you said, Cholo was very demanding and, you know, keep going. I mean, he kept repeating it in the cooling break against Granada. He kept saying that we need to keep attacking and keep being positive. And you guys have top players to do that. And so I think the fact that he's settled down, as you mentioned, he's got a lineup, he's got a system that suits him, it suits the players. The small tweaks for every opponent, because every opponent is different. And as you said, Barrios is going to learn a lot from, just going on Barrios again, he's going to learn a lot from Koke. They're very similar. And I mean, I like your point about Barrios being a future Atleti captain.
Well, hopefully he stays and the big boys don't come knocking and he leaves like Rogi left for Man City. Well, this is true, but I pray he stays. And like you said, Cholo having what is functioning now, because I can recall last season before the World Cup, we were like, what is happening? It's like he does not know what to do, blah, 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 and the rest. But it seems like he knows what he wants. And like you said, from the pause at the Hijra song break, which for Atleti fans is very special for us. And I'm sure you know why.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
And to those who are listening who are not Atleti fans, the cooling break is special for us because it was a turning point for Atleti in the game against Osasuna. And I think some Real Madrid fans are still crying up to now because they were like, why is there a cooling break? Why is there a cooling break? And that changed everything for Atleti. So back on the point, back to what we were talking about. Sorry, I couldn't resist myself, guy, dunking on those guys. So back to Atleti. And like you said, Cholo has something which is good now. And if you look at one of the things I'm happy with this transfer window is because the profiles which were brought in kind of suits what Atleti already had and ended the season with last season. I think you can agree with me on this. Azpilicueta, a right back or a right center back, Galan can do well as a wing back, can also do well as a left back. And the Atleti were also linked with Arnau Martinez, who can do a similar thing to what Azpilicueta is doing. So if you look at the profiles which have been brought in, like profiles who kind of suit the 3-5-2 which Atleti, or 5-3-2 which Atleti used last season and kind of dominated La Liga. And they have continued to do that way. It kind of gave me a little bit of positivity that it's like these guys actually have a plan and they are actually bringing people who suits what Cholo has to agree. So, Kelf, enough of that. We're moving now to maybe talk about potential transfers. And it's like Carrasco will be on his way to Saudi Arabia. And it's as if he really wants to go because his performances has not been great. And I'm not saying he wants to leave because he's been performing poor, but it's as if he said he's not in the game and Cholo wants to keep him because of what he offers. And if you've been listening to the show, Carrasco has been a very important piece of the Cholo's new system or Cholo Taka because Atleti kind of create wide overloads on the right-hand side where you have intricate passing and if they're not successful with it, with off-the-ball movement of running to the half spaces from either Griezmann, Correa, or maybe Molina making an out to in-run, then you kind of have a switch of play to the left-hand side, which you have Carrasco with the 1v1. And given his ability on the ball and how good he is in dribbling, he kind of creates success. Has a higher chance of succeeding and then create chance for Atleti. So that's the reason why Cholo has been holding on to him. But it seems like he wants to leave. And at the moment, it looks like there have been an agreement at time of recording between Atleti and the Saudi club who want to sign him. So, Kev, my question is, how does Carrasco leaving impact the team, given that his profile, the type of player he is not easy to have at the market, like have a very good dribbler who is consistent, like he was in the title winning season. So how do you think his departure kind of affect Atleti?
Well, as you mentioned, he's an important player for Cholo and won't be easy to replace. But I think you've got three different but very, very good options. Probably the closest from what we've seen earlier on this season is Lino. I think he's younger and is a bit more raw because he's only had a year at Valencia, but I think he does have similarities to Carrasco. He likes to dribble 1v1. He's very good at that. He can stay wide, as you mentioned, and be ready for the switch of play. You've also got Javi Galan, who I think could be very, very big for you guys. He can play left wing back very, very well. When I first watched him, it was at Huesca and he was playing as a left wing back in the back three. So I think that suits him perfectly. And you've also got Rodrigo Riquelme who can play out there. So I personally don't think if Carrasco does go, I don't think you guys need to go into the market at all to replace him. I think that I've seen enough in Lino in his year at Valencia that I know you asked me last year, could all three of them, could those guys come back? And I said, yes. And I think in this system, in this wing-back role, yeah, it will take Lino from a defensive point to understand a bit, but he's more than capable of doing it. He's probably the best option in terms of he's the closest to Carrasco in terms of their qualities for the stuff I've mentioned. But I wouldn't... It's not ideal to lose Carrasco, but Carrasco at his age... There was going to be a decline at some point, either this season or next season. So I actually think it's actually a good thing. We can sell him. We've got two youngsters plus Javi Galan who's come in. And Simeone, yeah, maybe for a couple of weeks, if Carrasco goes, he may have to rotate to find the perfect option. And it may be based on the opposition that you guys are playing. But I think, providing that Lino and Riquelme stay, which I think they will do, I really don't see any real problems with Carrasco leaving.
Well, I agree with you, and I think now is basically the perfect time for him to leave, because, like you just mentioned, Aleti has Lino, who has a lot of similarities with him. And if you want to know more about Lino, we recorded an episode on how he's similar to Carrasco and the rest. So Aleti also have Galan, who can provide similar qualities to him. And we know Galan is also a very good dribbler. And his stats says that, because in the last three seasons, I think he's been among the top three best dribblers in La Liga. So Aleti kind of is the best time to lose him, but it seems Cholo is not bent on losing, which is why I beg the question. If you are not bent on losing the guy, then why are you so keen on keeping Riquelme? Why did Aleti sign Galan, who has no futures yet, and you have Lino? So I think it's the best time to lose Carrasco, in my opinion. And I'm happy to let him go, because I think let him go, and then you have funds to maybe reinforce a position which I think is very necessary for this at the moment, which is a holding midfielder. Because it's true, yes, Barrios has done well in the games he's played so far, but we don't want to burn him out, and we want to like kind of use him and let him have the minutes. And I think Aleti needs an extra midfielder, because in the bigger games, I'm not so sure about Barrios. I believe he can do it, but I'm not so confident in allowing him to sit in front of the back three, given some of the things I said against Rayo. Like, he kind of gets carried away at times and gives the boy away a little bit too easy. I think those are things that will come with age. But I think Aleti kind of needs another DM, and letting go of Carrasco kind of free up the wages and also bring in funds for Aleti to maybe finance a DM for a DM. And on the topic about a DM, Kev, I just want to ask them, do you actually think Aleti actually need reinforcement? Because I think they need one, and it's a DM.
Yeah, I mean, if it's the right defensive holding pivot midfielder, then I understand it. Do they need it? Probably for the points you've mentioned. As you said, you don't want to burn Barrios out. I would actually be looking for maybe a loan with an option to buy. But again, it depends on who's out there in the market. We know that there's players that have been linked to you guys, Amrabat and Højbjerg in particular. But we'll see what happens. I mean, I know that Cholo wants one. We know very publicly that he wants another defensive midfielder. I still personally look at a more natural right wing back. Because as I've mentioned, I don't like the idea of Azpilicueta playing higher on the right. I just don't think he has the pace and mobility anymore. I would go and get Arnau Martínez from Girona. For me, that would be an absolute no-brainer if the finances allowed it. But for this season, out of the two areas, yeah, an extra defensive midfielder is probably the more of the priority. But yeah, so I understand that, wanting an extra holding midfielder to, as you said, to be able to rest and rotate from Barrios. But, you know, Koke will be back soon. Koke generally is generally a very fit player. He doesn't get injured too much. So I don't think it'd be the end of the world if you didn't get one. But I understand Cholo wanting to bring one in.
Well, Kev, I kind of agree with a lot of things you said. Like you said, it will not be the end of the world, but the issue now will be, I think, come January, where that's the area where your squad is being tested. And like we are saying, Aleti has a lot of squad depth, which is good. But I think you and I know there are a lot of players with if. Like when I recorded the first episode for this season with Ajuani Futi, which is La Liga system on Twitter, he kind of said that Aleti are good and they can actually challenge for the title and have a good run in the Copa del Rey. But now you have a lot of ifs, and the ifs comes with injury. We know of Jimenez, who is not presently available for selection now because of an injury. We know of Savic. We know of Soyuncu, who just came back from an injury. And we have Memphis, who was injured in the game against Rayo. And we have Lima, who is just coming back from injury. So the fact that Aleti has depth, but you have a lot of injury-prone players. And like you said, with Koke, he's a very fit player. But we all know he has stretches within the season where he missed 2 to 3 games or 4 games or a month where he is not fit. And then after that, he's fit for the rest of the season. So that's another issue now with the if. So I can actually understand why Cholo is also asking for more depth, because with more depth, you can actually have in games where what happens, you can actually play Koke higher. And we all know how intelligent and how good of a footballer Koke is. Because I feel like in the game against Rayo, Aliti were outstanding and it was great to see them score 7 goals. But one of the negatives I took from the game was the fact that without Koke on that pitch, we lost that kind of a ball retention, because there were times in which we did not need to advance play, but we were so, let me say, excited for more goals, which is not a bad thing, which was good. But what happens? We kind of turn over position to Rayo, and I'm just thinking, if that was a team with higher quality, what happens to us? So, you understand what I'm saying? So, yeah, I believe if we have a defensive midfielder, which is something we have been crying for since the departure of Rodri and Partey, and we brought in Kondogbia, but sadly, he was not that guy. So, if we can actually have a defensive midfielder, I think the squad is good to go, and that is also care of finishing on the transfer window. What's your opinion on Felix? Because it seems as you guys are having Ansu Fati, which is actually a great deal for you guys, given that you guys are playing in Europe this season and you guys have an exciting coach and the whole world is kind of excited to watch you guys, I myself included. It seems like Barcelona may be in for Felix, and he has said publicly that he wants to go to Barca, and it's as if the transfer window is not going to close with him being an Atleti player. Do you think him leaving Atleti is good for him? Because I believe him leaving Atleti is fantastic for everybody.
Yeah, I think that's the perfect word. I think it's brilliant. I think the only disappointing thing about it is that he hasn't left Atleti sooner. He should have gone sooner, but these things happen. But yeah, I think it's perfect for everyone. And yeah, I mean, he's not going to be used at Atleti. He's fallen out, as far as I can tell, he's fallen out with pretty much everyone apart from Samuel Lino. And it suits everyone. I don't think it's the greatest move for Barcelona, actually, because he's not really wanted by Xavi. But Laporta's in charge, and he's gonna do that. And hopefully for you guys, he goes to Barcelona and does well, because then someone can then buy him, and then you can rebuild and move on.
Well, I'm pretty sure that if he does well at Barca, then I think he's, like you said, his transfer value can kind of skyrocket, which is what Atleti were hoping last season with the loan to Chelsea. Because if he does fantastic, especially in the Premier League, what happens? Atleti can maybe even have maybe 3/4 of what they paid for him. And like you said, him leaving will be great for everybody. So, Kev, we have talked about Atleti's first 3 games. We have talked about some of the players who have impressed. And we have talked about the possible transfer window and how that will affect, and those who need to come in where Atleti needs to strengthen. So Atleti are playing Sevilla this weekend. And Sevilla actually struggling because they are actually bottom of the table in La Liga. Yes, Sevilla, which is quite surprising given they had a great run. And then towards the end of last season, which also led to a Europa League triumph. We all know how Sevilla is. If La Liga was changed today to the Europa League, I'm sure we know Sevilla wins it. From now to the day the name will be changed. So, Kerf, Sevilla are struggling, and I would say to those who watch La Liga, it's not really much of a surprise, because firstly, you don't have a lot of improvement on their squad. And then secondly, one of the things who made them good last season was a certain guy called Brian Gill, which was an explosive winger. I'm not saying he did it on his own, but he kind of made the attacks back. And this season, you kind of have, it's like looking at the Sevilla's squad, Kerf, it's like you are feeling like these guys have had this team for, they start in 11, you have had this team for like the past 5 years. It's true they have had additions like Dodi Lukabakio, a player who I'm a fan of, given I've watched him play in the Bundesliga for Hertha Berlin. And I also watched him score his first career hat-trick against Bayern Munich at the Allianz Arena against Manuel Neuer. So they also brought in Gibril Sow, another player I'm a fan of, who played for Frankfurt and a very good defensive midfielder. Someone maybe at least could have brought in. So they have brought in a lot of players, but they have strengthened key areas. But the results are not going. What do you think is a problem for, what has been the problem for Sevilla in their opening 3 games? Because they have actually played 2 games at the Ramos Sanchez Pichuana and have lost them against Valencia and Girona. And it's not been a great showing, because you have Europa League winners. They put on a very great showing against Man City in the Super Cup. And in my opinion, they were unlucky to lose that game. Penalty, anybody can go anybody's way, but they had created pretty much the best chances in the game. So, Kev, what do you think is wrong? Do you think is wrong for Sevilla at the moment in the La Liga?
Well, I think Sevilla they just haven't played well, really. They were poor against Valencia on the opening night. Valencia deserved to win. They were fantastic. They went to Alaves and defensively and in midfield, I think everything just appeared to be broken. I didn't watch all of the Girona game, so I can't. I only really saw the second half. But I think the thing with Sevilla, they play Mendilibar's way, which is, it is exciting to watch. It's direct. But when you've got good technical players, particularly like Rakitic, I think there's got to be a bit more patience in the build-up. I remember going back to the Europa League final against Roma, and they were playing long balls, and I was screaming at the telly, give it to Rakitic and be patient, and you will get chances. And just that calmness. And I think the biggest thing I can say about Sevilla, and it's a criticism I've laid at Atleti and Simeone in the past, is that they're too predictable, Sevilla. It's get the ball wide, it's get the ball into the box and hope that En-Nesyri will get on the end of it. And I think when you do that for a while, teams work you out and you need to do something different. And Suso can provide that. And you mentioned about their squad. I think the problem is with Sevilla is a lot of their players are aging. So they're trying to sell them now, but they're not getting that much money for them. And they are trying to rebuild. And the guys you've mentioned, Saul and the winger, are clearly part of that, and they've got Tecatito to come back in after a whole season out injured. But yeah, I mean, it's been a very disappointing start. I didn't think they'd be as good as last season, but I didn't think they'd start this bad. They're the only team in La Liga that doesn't have a point, and they go to the Metropolitano on Sunday. We'll just have to see what happens. But I think Mendilibar will be himself. He'll press you guys high to try and get the ball back as early as possible. But I think if you guys play at your level, you will pick up all 3 points.
Well, Kev, like you said, everyone knows what to expect from Sevilla. And like you mentioned when we're talking about Atleti, that despite the fact that they have maybe how they want to play, but opponent is different and you have to tweak things. And one of the things I think they found success running towards the end of last season, which they almost came from fighting relegation to finishing for European place, was the fact that Suso had a little bit of a more central role, which was kind of good because Mendilibar kind of rejuvenated him, and that was actually great to see. But I think, and that also contributed to maybe them having a little bit of chance creation from central areas and not just wide, because under Mendilibar, we all know what to expect, a lot of crosses from the wide areas. But now, this season is like, everybody are like, wow, yes, he came last season. Maybe he took us by surprise. And now this is, we know what to expect. And now we know how to counter that. And like you said, one of the things that made them win the Europa League was the change they made in the final, not in terms of personnel, but in terms of the approach, kind of slowed things down, a little bit of ball retention, circulation. And they were key in the timing of when to maybe send it out wide for a cross or when to maybe hold it longer to draw the opponent, to create good crossing situation. Because Mendilibar is a fan of volume over quality, but I think if he can be a little bit patient and create those good quality chances, especially those ones that are good for, you have crossing situations, because they are very good crossers of the ball, be it Adri Bendoza, be it Acuna who is out injured, or be it even Navas. So I think for them, what they lack is patience. And that was one of the things I was looking forward to this summer, because I tweeted some of the things I'm looking forward to this summer. I tweeted on La Real, I tweeted on Girona, I also tweeted on Sevilla, because I wanted a little bit of patience from Mendilibar team, because we know he's a high-pressing coach, energetic, very direct, but what happens? You can't do that all the time, because you are a Sevilla, and what happens? Majority of the teams will have to sit deep against you, because you are not at Eibar, you are not at a club where you are fighting relegation, and maybe you are the underdog all the time, but you are the club where I think at certain moments you will be underdog. And the game against Girona, they had spells where they were actually good, but the issue is now the consistency throughout the 90 minutes, because you cannot just be keeping on relying on creating chances from winning back the ball in the opponent's half, which was the case against Valencia, or you just rely on maybe playing long balls for a nursery or sending the ball away all the time. You have to be a little bit creative at time. I think that's what is missing. And the creativeness, I don't think is from maybe a player's perspective, but also from a personnel. And from a player's perspective, I think they need an explosive type of winger in Brian Gill. And I'm surprised that for someone like Edde Abze, who it seems he is leaving Barcelona and they are not actually in for the guy. So Abde. So they actually have to get things sorted out. And like you said, they have an aging squad and things have been not really good for them in terms of transfer windows, because like Moncic was there and he kind of messed up a bit. So they have to like maybe balance things, because a club like Sevilla actually relies on transfers, and it seems they are working on that. And Kev, talking about Sevilla, we know about the UEFA Champions League draw too, and Sevilla is also involved in the draw. And it's as if, in my opinion, the draws for Spanish teams are actually quite favorable, because I think there's a lot higher chances for the Spanish teams to actually leave the group, because that of Real Madrid, they have Napoli, Braga, and Union Berlin. It's not easy, but I believe they can easily make it atop the group. And as for that of Barcelona, they have a very favorable draw with Porto, Shakhtar, and Antwerp. As for Sevilla, you have Arsenal, PSV, and Lens. And I think Sevilla will be winning all the chances with games against PSV and Lens. But we know those trips to Lens will not be easy, because they actually did fantastic last season in Ligue 1, despite the fact that they lost their top scorer, Openda, to Leipzig, and they also lost their captain, Fofana. So it will not be easy, despite the fact that they are be weak. But they signed, I think, Zewahil from, I think it's, I've forgotten, but was actually linked to Atleti and also to Chelsea. And then you have Real Sociedad, who actually have also in a very good group, a group where they can easily actually make it out. When I say easily, I'm not saying that it's easy for them, but you have Benfica, Inter, and Salzburg. These are Inter, yes, outright favorite, but I think against Benfica and Salzburg, those are clubs who might be on La Real's level, and they will be wearing up their chances. And as for Atleti kind of have a good draw. You are Feyenoord. I think if you watch the draws, when Atleti were paired up in the group where Feyenoord, because Feyenoord was in Porto, Atleti in Porto, and you can actually see the smile on Gilbert's face, they could not hold them back. You have Feyenoord, Lazio, and Celtic. So, Kev, I think there's a higher chance of the Spanish team making it out of the draw, making it to the having five Spanish teams in the round of 16, because the draws are not that bad, because the likes of Sevilla and Real Sociedad, who are actually like second tier La Liga clubs, and they kind of dodge bullets in the facing the likes of Bayern, Man City, and Paris. So, Kelf, what is your opinion on the draw for La Liga overall before we talk today about that of Atleti?
Yeah, I agree with what you said. They're quite good draws for the La Liga sides. You expect Real Madrid to win their group. I expect you guys to win yours. Sevilla and Real Sociedad have it a little bit tougher, but as you mentioned, they both have opportunities. Real Sociedad, you know, first year in the Champions League for a decade. It's a slightly new experience for them, but they've definitely got a chance to do something. I think, particularly for Sevilla and Real Sociedad, it's going to be their home games. If they can do really well at home, that could be enough to get them in the top two or dropping back into the Europa League. And yeah, Barcelona have got a very straightforward group, which if they don't win it, in my opinion, Xavi's in big trouble.
For sure, for sure. Well, I know it's another European season, and then we know a lot of things are going to be tested, like, for example, the pace of the game, and we have that discussion coming up about La Liga being slow. But I believe La Liga going to the Anoeta, or the Nouveau Anoeta, going to Ramos Sessions Pizjuan, those are not easy grounds, and I believe those home games will be key for Real Sociedad and Sevilla. If they can have actually achieve a result, like a draw at home to Inter or Arsenal, that would be actually great for Sevilla and Real Sociedad. So that would be key on them. So, Kev, you said Atleti should be top in a group where that was said last season, and what happens? Atleti finished bottom of their group. So like Atleti has recently, Atleti has been struggling in the group stages of the Champions League, and luckily we do not draw against a German team this season, because it's like Simeone's record against German teams is not really the best. So, Kev, what's your like deep? Let's do a little bit deep dive into it, because you have Celtic. You have Ange Postecoglou, who was the coach of Celtic last season, and now he's at Tottenham. So you kind of have a change, and in the League Cup, I think they already been knocked out. And as for PSV, I'm sorry, Feyenoord, they won the league last season, which was great, and they had a fantastic season. But as always, with teams who are not in the top five leagues or with the lower teams, what happens to them? The bigger boys come for their best players. And for Feyenoord, they lost, I think, the Johan Cruyff club to PSV. So, and their start to the season has not been really solid, but they won this on March 3-6-1. And as for Lazio, well, the only team I think Atleti have been paired with that I watched last season, because Sarri, I'm a fan of how his team plays, because I actually am a huge fan of a guy who plays for Lazio, which is Luis Alberto. I really love the guy. So you are kind of have a possession-based team in Lazio and how Sarri likes his team to play. Like, it was evidence with Chelsea, and you have the Sarri ball, like the English were calling it. So, Kelf, what's your opinion on this draw? Because the first thing I had from when the draws were completed is the fact that a lot of these teams, their approach to games are going to suit Cholismo because they would love to have the ball.
Yeah, I think there's going to be an interesting battle for possession, as you've mentioned, particularly in the game against in the game against Lazio. And as you said, Atletico have found the group stages a bit tougher in the last couple of years. But as we were talking earlier, in the last couple of years, Atletico have started seasons slowly and poorly by Cholo being pretty confused and working out, is this the best lineup? Is it this? Whereas I think for the fact that Cholo's more settled and we've seen the benefits in La Liga, I think we'll see the benefits in the Champions League games. Of course, those away games that you've got are not the easiest. Lazio, Feyenoord and Celtic in particular, you know, they're not going to be the easiest away games, but you guys have got the quality and enough of your players have had enough Champions League experience to come through that. So I'm not expecting you guys to win 5-6-7-0 in all of them, but you should get through fairly straightforwardly. Probably Lazio in second, as you mentioned. Luis Alberto's a good player, and I think the Lazio game is going to be probably the toughest test. As you've mentioned, Sarri loves his teams to dominate possession, and it'll be interesting to see how Simeone and Atleti try and fix that. And if you guys, and again, as you said, a lot of those teams are possession based. The best way, in my opinion, to beat a possession-based team, if you can, is to have the ball, because possession-based teams aren't used to not having the ball. Well, it's just common sense, really. You know, if you can have a lot of possession in the attacking part of the pitch and pin the likes of Lazio, and that, let's just use Lazio as the main example. If you can get them back on the edge of their own box, then they're not used to counter-attacking. They're used to doing the opposite of that. Now, I don't watch Lazio too much. You probably watch them more than I do, particularly after the point you made on Luis Alberto. But I assume that with Sarri, because I saw a number of his games with Chelsea, a couple against Brighton, that they want to play high up the pitch. They want to play in your half. So if you can turn that on them and get them back and pin them back in, you can't do that for 90 minutes, but if you could do that for the majority, you should be able to overwhelm them, because you've got the quality. You've got the quality on the ball, particularly the names we mentioned earlier, play, which they should do. And the fact that you're creating more chances and in fact taking more chances mean that it's not going to be the... Because that's always been the problem for me watching Atleti ever recently, is the problem's actually really been chance creation, which is now not really a problem because you're creating chances even when you're not playing well against Betis or against Granada. And as I mentioned earlier, I generally believe that you need a bit of luck in terms of, you know, needing crucial people to stay fit. But I generally believe if Atleti get out of the group, which they should do, then that you guys can maybe do, I don't know, quarterfinals, maybe even semi-finalists this year, because I think you're that good.
Ooh, well, like Atleti fans always say, why others sleep, we dream. A lot of praise for Atleti, and that's nice. Kelva, I agree with what you said, because I'm expecting actually Atleti to kind of do quite good this year, because I believe a lot of teams will approach Atleti like Rayo did. When I say Rayo kind of actually pressed Atleti high and kind of actually wanted more of the ball. And I believe that the press will be a little bit more coordinated, and the press also will be have more intensity in the press. And like you said, the away games in Celtic, in Glasgow against Celtic and against Feyenoord and against Lazio, they have actually very good fan bases. And we all know how a European night, for example, in Celtic can be, because I think the game against Real Madrid, I think last season, where they were actually good. They created a lot of transitional moments with Real Madrid by actually bypassing Real Madrid press. We all know Real Madrid don't have the best out of position sheet, but they were actually good against Real Madrid. So games against those teams are good. And going back to the Lazio, like you said, I think Sarri has kind of, how can I say, like, adapted a lot, because I would expect that in the home game, they would like to have the more of the ball. But in the away game, I think you adjust, and I will not be surprised if he approaches the Atleti game like how he did against Inter, because again, the game against Inter last season, which Inter kind of won, they actually did what you are saying. They kind of staffed Lazio off the ball, made them defend in their own halves or large parts of the area. And like you said, they are not so used to counter-attacking, and Inter could easily shut down their counter-attacks. And then Inter kind of created a lot of chances from that. So I believe that this is basically similar to what Aleti did versus City, kind of press them high, react with good reaction to pressing triggers, and then kind of suffocate them in the second half. So if Aleti can approach games like that, would be great. So it begs me to the new question. Brings me to my new question. Kev, do you think Cholo needs to change his approach in the Champions League and play more like he did against City in his return leg 2 seasons ago? Or should he maybe maintain what he has been doing in the past or continue like he's been Aleti are playing now in La Liga?
Well, it depends on the quality of opposition. I personally think in the group, you guys have the quality to carry on what he's doing in La Liga, because again, there's decent quality of opposition there. But in my opinion, you guys have got a far better squad than the three you're up against. Beyond that, it depends on the opposition. If you're playing, if you get Man City again. Hope not, but let's say you do, then of course then you need to tweak things a little bit and maybe, as you said, play more like, in a way, like he did in the second leg at the Metropolitano a couple of years ago, which is actually probably because of the quality of City. It's one of the best Atleti performances I've personally ever seen. My feeling would be that just to try to keep doing as much of what he's currently doing in the Champions League, because I think you've got the quality to do it. You've got the character to do it. The fear about other teams counterattack on you, I think, is less of a problem because you've got way more defensive cover in Soyuncu now. Azpilicueta, you've got Ronaldo to come back at some point, and he's crucial in the back three when he plays. As I've mentioned, I mentioned earlier about Chamoso on the ball, but off the ball, I think he can step in. He can defend wide areas because he has had spells at left back, and you've definitely got more defensive. It's not like in the past where if Savic and Jimenez weren't fit, you were in trouble. Witsel's done well in the back three as well. So I think there's less concern about, in my opinion anyway, there's less concern about that. There's less concern defensively. Probably in the Champions League at the moment, apart from the defensive midfielder situation, my only question mark would be if something bad happened long-term to Molina. Because apart from that, I think everything else is covered.
Yeah, I get your point. And I think, if Molina has an injury, then that will be tax now for Azpilicueta and Llorente, which would be a drop in quality. But I think defensively wise, they can do the job. And now it affects the game plan and everything. And I would be happy if Cholo can continue to do much of what he's doing now in the Champions League and not tweak things and revert back to, let's say, Aleti of 2016 and the rest. And that would be actually fantastic to see. And as for the performance against City, I keep singing that performance because that is actually, like you said, one of the best I've ever seen Aleti play. And to make a Guardiola team kind of actually play long balls and struggle to progress the ball was just fantastic. So, Kelf, on to Aleti's game this weekend. We have talked about Sevilla, the troubles they are going through, and some of the things they need to do to get better. So, Kelf, what do you expect from the game against Sevilla tactically, or what are some of the things you want the listeners to keep an eye on?
Well, tactically, I don't expect anything too different from what he did on Monday. I don't know what I would guess that the lineup's going to be the same. I can't see any reason for him to change it, apart from, of course, the obvious one, because I think Memphis is out, so Memphis would be out, and I assume Morata will come in. And I think tactically, you guys might be a little bit more direct because of the fact that Sevilla press high and they're spacing behind. And probably the other thing that's just come back into my head, if Carrasco isn't around, then who he puts on the left? My guess is it'll be Samuel Lino, but it could be Javi Galan, which wouldn't be a massive surprise, but it would be a little one because he's not played a minute already this season. But I think, well, Sevilla, we know they're going to be 4-2-3-1, 4-4-2. As you said, probably Suso in the roll-off, in the 10 roll-off, Endesiri. I'm interested to see what he does in midfield. So started against Girona he could start again alongside Rakitic. But as we mentioned earlier, Sevilla, they'll press high, they'll play direct when they can. But I think you guys have the quality, particularly on the left side, with it, when Hermoso brings the ball out, you can play it through that way. There was good spells in the Rio game where Griezmann and Saul were in the pockets, and then you'll have the different threat of Morata going in behind, which could be a good thing actually. It might even free up more space for Griezmann and for Saul if he plays. And yeah, and I just think with the quality you guys have got, the fact that you guys are at home, Sevilla will make it difficult, but I think that it'll be another win for Atleti.
Well, Kev, thanks on that. And you just mentioned Saul. Can we talk about Saul for a moment? Because it's like he has taken a U-turn. And it's like Cholo finally has, like we mentioned, has found a system for the players. We talk about the players, I'm talking about all the players, because it's like everyone feels happy. No matter who comes into the team, he knows what to do and he's also playing his best. So what do you think may have changed around Saul? Because there were rumors of him leaving, but it seems like he wanted to stay, to win his position, to be with the Saul that we saw in the 2016 Champions League, scoring a golazo versus Bayern. So what do you think may have changed for Saul?
Well, I think the biggest factor is he's now kind of back in midfield, because for a long period after that 2016 thing, he was played on the left wing, on the right wing. He had a lot of spells at left back or left wing back when Cholo first started looking at the back three. And I think, and the biggest factor is that Cholo's playing Saul not just in his best position, but in his best role in that position, because he has played Saul deeper, but that's not the best to get. That's not, in my opinion, the best way to get out of Saul. The best to get the best out of Saul, you need to allow him to do what he did on Monday, which is basically playing high up the pitch, making runs in between the centre back and the full back. It's perfect illustrated for your second goal on Monday against Rio, and his ability to get into the box, to put crosses. As you mentioned, he does have a goal in him, and I just think for the fact that he's more settled on the pitch, which means he's more settled off the pitch, which means he doesn't really want to leave Atleti. I don't think he even wanted to go when he went to Chelsea. I just think he wanted to go and be like, right, I want to play in midfield because that's my position, and prove to everyone that I can play. And that's sometimes the downside when you're positionally versatile, like Saul and like Llorente, when you're happy to play anywhere. You know, coaches then overuse that, and then the player ends up thinking, well, no, I'm a midfielder. I want to play in midfield. So I think the biggest factor is just for the fact that Saul is back in his role, back in his best position. And of course, we still need a run of games, because it's only been really the one game he started there, because it's been Lamar started the couple before that. But if Saul can have a consistent run there, I think he links well with Griezmann when they play kind of close to each other in certain situations, and I think he could be a very, very important player, which, as you said a few weeks ago, probably no Atleti fan thought would be the case.
Well, like you touched on, he's back in midfield and he's doing what he's best at, and now we all know what's how he's best at, making runs into the box. And that's actually great for Atleti, because majority of Atleti's off the ball runs come from the right hand side. And now, if Saul can be playing as a left interior, which is a role Lemar has pretty much made his own, or when Depor plays there, he doesn't actually do that. But if Saul can actually do that, that's actually great, because he kind of gives an Atleti a new dimension. Because he can start, Lemar can start games, and what happens? The off the ball runs can be coming from the right, and what happens? Saul comes as a substitute, and then he gives another thing. To be honest, I'm just excited for this Atleti team, because things are going on well, but looking at the possibilities from those who come off the bench and what they can offer just gives you a positive vibe about things, and also a positive feeling of what this team can actually achieve this season. And Kev, I think you already touched on what we can watch on the Sevilla game, and like you talked about the fact for Sevilla, we all know what to expect, a high-pressing team. And my last question concerning the game, do you think this would be Atleti's like toughest test in terms of testing their build-up that they have faced so far? Because for me, having Savic in the team is good because of his experience and how he knows how Cholo wants and what Cholo wants. But I kind of feel like he's a detriment to Atleti's build-up or possession-based phase, because he's not really that good with the ball, especially under pressure. So I want to ask you, would this be Atleti's toughest test Atleti has faced with the build-up? Because with Savic, I kind of feel like the left-hand side is the only source of build-up, and it's kind of making things one-dimensional.
Yes, yeah, so you're basically asking about Savic, weren't you? And could it be the toughest in build up? Probably. I mean, I expected that to be the case from Rio, and I think I said it on Twitter after the game. I think the idea from Rio to press you was right. They just got the execution wrong. So I do think that Sevilla can be a test, and it could be interesting. Regarding, I mean, he may not even play Savic, and as we were talking earlier, he does now have defensive options. If he's worried about Savic on the ball, he can then think, oh, I can try. Maybe Azpilicueta will come back in, for example, on the right, and it could be Azpilicueta, Witzel, and Hermoso in the back three. But will it be Atleti's toughest test? Probably, because if you look, it could be the toughest test. I think Betis was another a different toughest test. But in terms of, as you mentioned, Sevilla's high press and the fact and that sort of thing, yes, it probably is Atleti's toughest test so far.
So, given that would be Atleti's toughest test, so what would be your predicted? What would be your position for the lineup for the game, which will enable Atleti to be able to easily bypass Sevilla's press? Because Tati Morata is already indicating that it will be a route, given that Atleti will play long balls to him like they did against City, and also Memphis' injury obviously indicates that Morata starts the game. So, what would be your predicted lineup for the game?
Oblak, Azpilicueta, Witzel, Hermoso, the back three. Molina, Depaul, Barrios, Saul and Samuel Lino as the five. Griezmann and Morata up front.
Yeah. Fair enough. Well, I agree with pretty much what you said, and hopefully that's what Cholo used. So to wrap up the podcast, and we are going to talk about La Liga, because the start of the season in La Liga has been so good, crazy, entertaining, filled with goals, filled with crazy actions. You have Stuani slam dunk on Lenormand. You have Rafinha's, I don't know what to call, uppercut or whatever. So it's been actually exciting. So Kevin, what are some of the standout things you have realized, or maybe listeners of Atleti who are interested in following La Liga, not just Atleti, should keep an eye on? Because we already know a certain guy from Dortmund who is an Englishman has already won his first award in Spain, which is him being the player of the month of August, and he plays for a certain team. So apart from that, what are some of the things you think have been exciting in La Liga?
I did wonder how you were going to go with that. Yeah. I think from a neutral point of view, I think Isco has been absolutely brilliant. So good to see him back in La Liga and doing well at Betis. I think we've spoken about them a tiny bit. Girona have been absolutely brilliant as well. They've lost a few key players, but have shown that it's providing that you recruit in the right way. It's not really a problem. The fact that only one team in Sevilla has 0 points again, I think, even though it's only three games, shows the competitive nature of the league, and the fact that hopefully we're going to have a proper three-horse title race in terms of, you know, you and Barca and the other team that you don't want to talk about can stay up there and also be consistent throughout the whole season. And I think La Liga's it's had a great start to it, and just looking forward to how everything how the season progresses, and the fact that Sevilla are the only team on 0 points just shows the competitive nature of the league, and that hopefully we'll have a fantastic battle at the top of the league as we have done at the bottom for the last few seasons.
Well, like you mentioned, Isco has been one of the standout players in the start of the season, and you have other players like Kubo, who has been also great, even though Laria have not been great mm-hmm. because they have been inconsistent throughout the 90 minutes, the three games they have played. And then you also have a certain Lamine Yamal from Barcelona, who in Rafinha's absence has come onto the scenes and is kind of really great. I hope Barcelona can handle him well, because I hope they don't make the same mistake they made with Fati when he came back from injury, and also with Pedri. So I hope they manage him well. And for example, and you have Alex Bale, who who is going on under the radar, because he has been fantastic, especially in space occupation, and also facilitating his teams in the possession phase, be it from the build up or also in the final third, with making off the ball runs to create space for teammates, or being at the end of passes to score goals like he did versus Barcelona. And then you have Girona, who I think Mitchell has kind of, last season was like his growth, because his Rayo team, his Huesca team, they kind of did well, and in my opinion, do not really deserve to go down, because they play one of a very good football, but he was still growing up as a manager, and I believe this season he's showing that maturity, because his team are very good attacking, but he's learning how to better manage the game, win games, and also tell his team when to be aggressive, when to do this, like the game against Sevilla, where he was insisting to his players to try to keep a hold of the ball so that they can kind of take away a lot of the energy of Sevilla, because Sevilla were actually playing at home and they were high pressing, looking for an equalizer. So that was actually great from seeing, because Girona has been my team of the season. And then the other team from Madrid, whose player won the player of the season, they have actually been great with their 4-4-2 diamond. And you have the Englishman from Borussia Dortmund, Kev, I know you know his name. I'm sure you can say his name very well. Bellingham. So he's been actually a joy to watch, because Vinicius and Rodrigo kind of playing as the strikers, kind of actually makes in such a way that defenders don't have a standing line to mark, and that kind of creates opportunities for Bellingham's runs into the box, and with players like Cruz who can pick him out, also Camavinga, they are very good players, and then you can have what is happening, and him is scoring goals and being top goal scorer of La Liga at the moment. So that's good for them. Hopefully things change soon and that will not be so good for them. And then going to the other side, you have Rayo, which in my opinion, forgetting about their Atletico's very tough defeat, because I believe their intentions were very good on and off the ball. And they, what killed them, like you mentioned, was execution, which it happens at times, and they were just unlucky to be facing Atletico's side, who were having a very, very good day and were very merciless, because in the opening two games, they were fantastic. So those are some of the things which have been great in La Liga. So, Kev, to maybe wrap up the pod, I'm going to ask you, who is your best player? Because you also have the best under 23 player, and Atleti's own Pablo Barros, who has been fantastic in the second half as Betis, and also in the game with Rayo, is one of the nominees, along the likes of Kubo, Lamine Yamal. So, Kelf, I'm going to ask you, you give your own award, who is your best player, your best under 23, best so far in the month of August, your best goal, and also your coach of the month in La Liga?
Player of the month, Jude Bellingham, for a lot of the points you mentioned. He's been fantastic, settled in really quickly, and having that opportunity to just become a leader already is fantastic. Best under 23 player, I'm probably going to go Nico Williams of Athletic Club. He's had a fantastic start to the season, and I think he's becoming more decisive. He's making better decisions in the final third, and yeah, I mean, if he can get that right, then maybe Athletic's problems with goals is less of a problem. Favorite goal. Very difficult. Very difficult. Favorite goal already.
Memphis.
Just, you were saying that come back into my head. Yes, Memphis on the opening day against Granada. Was the other one best coach? Was the other one that you wanted me to answer the best coach so far?
Yes, best coach. Yes,
oh,
so
easy,
far.
Michel,
fantastic.
Yeah, as you've mentioned, he's become even better. He was a little bit unlucky, as you said, at Huesca and Rayo. Teams play very, very well. Not too dissimilar to the way his Girona team play now. They're just better in both boxes. He's got better players making better decisions, and he's getting important results. And I don't know if any knows you're any Girona fans, but I just want to say publicly that if/when in the future Brighton lose Roberto De Zerbi, I would really like Michel to replace him.
Kelf, the Premier League has taken Andoni Iraola, which is one of the best coaches in La Liga last season. Now you want them to take another. Not fair.
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry.
Generally speaking, if there's any... Okay, that's fair. Fair enough. As apology, not accepted yet. Because you might be giving a hint. So please, not good. And you're using the passport to do that. So not good. So very well, if there's any place I want, would like Mitchell to go, is Brighton, a healthy environment, which is not so dissimilar from that of Girona, because Girona kind of do things kind of the healthy way, which is kind of good. And also the way Brighton likes to play football or wants to play football is not dissimilar from how Mitchell sees football. So that will actually be a good partnership. Hopefully he stays in La Liga for us, the La Liga viewers, and us, the La Liga lovers. But career-wise, going to Brighton would be fantastic for Mitchell, because actually he deserves it.
Yeah. If Mitchell does not come to Brighton, I'm exactly like you. I pray he stays in stays in La Liga and goes to one of the bigger clubs in a couple of seasons' time. I don't want him to leave Girona yet, because he's still doing fantastic work at Girona. But as you said, Iriola's come across, Mitchell's is doing fantastic work. And there's others. We were talking about Paco Lopez earlier. Paco Lopez is a fantastic coach. I think he'll get a bigger job in La Liga in the next couple of years. And there's a few others that could end up doing that as well.
Oh, for sure. Agreed. I believe. And I'm a huge fan of him because of the way he sees one. I believe also he's sucking from Levante, and him maybe spending some time before taking on a Granada job has kind of improved, because I've watched their games, this in two of the three games, and I've seen a lot of emphasis on out of positionship, which was something which was kind of a little bit non-existent in his Levante team.
Yeah.
So I think he's also evolving, and he's kind of, I will keep my ideas, but I will improve what I'm weak at, which is fantastic. And Kelf, I know I've said this one last question, but among the three promoted teams, which are you most impressed with? Because one of the teams I have not enjoyed so much watching is Las Palmas, but I enjoyed that game versus. I also said that they were actually kind of good, and they showed why they had the stingiest defense in the second division, which is the Segunda last season, because they keep the ball very well, and they kind of use it as a means to defend, and they have a very good rest defense, which is to counteract counter attacks, which is actually great. So they are the team I've been kind of impressed with so far, newly promoted side. So what about you?
Yeah, I think Las Palmas have been good. Girona, as we've mentioned, I'm just trying to think. I think Athletic Club, after a really poor game against Real Madrid, have been fantastic. And the others, Valverde's a coach I like a lot, so I'm glad he's doing well. Anyone else to mention? Probably not at the moment. I mean, it's still only three games in, but... Yeah, I'd probably say Athletic Club.
Yeah. Okay, Kev, I was asking a newly promoted club, which have impressed you, because you have Granada, you have...
Newly promoted, yeah. Okay, I think that was a communication thing. I would say out of the three, Granada, I think they've been good. As we've mentioned, Paco Lopez's experience in the league, and the fact that you've mentioned he's gone away, learned. They've got very good attacking players in Azuni and Brian Zaragoza, who I think both could be fantastic players for them this season. I think Alaves have been good in the games I've seen them play as well. Unlucky to lose at Getafe. And I think Las Palmas have done okay. Not really a goal threat, but they have a lot of the ball. They play good football. And if they can get it right at the top end of the pitch with Sandro or Meunier or Cabba, then they can easily stay up in La Liga.
Oh, for sure. Like you said, I think for Las Palmas, their issue will be getting the goals, because they will actually be very good with the ball, and they are actually also good without the ball. And as for Granada, like you said, they have a lot of fluidity, a lot of attacking talent, and they will score a lot of goals. They are going to entertain us. That's what the Paco Lopez teams do. And as for Alaves, we know they are going to try to stay up, and they are going to make the most of the Mendes Rosa, which is a very good ground. It's a ground which is also difficult to get results from there. We can all recall Real Madrid losing there, so it's not going to be easy. So, Kel, finally, we have come to the end of the pod after talking about Leti, talking about Champions League, talking about... In fact, Spanish football in general, because I am a huge fan of Spanish football, and so are you. So, Kev, it's been great chatting with you once again on the Papod.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. And it's been fantastic to speak to you once again. Can't wait to do it all over again very soon.
For sure, Kelv. Well, due to time constraint, we had to cut our conversation short because we can go on over and over, and we know we'll never stop because discussing with you is just great.
Yeah.
It's like discussing with someone who kind of have a positive vibe and also has an insight on football, and it's kind of also well honest to like say, I don't know this, I know this, and which is actually great. Something you don't find very often, because at the moment, especially on FT, it's like everybody knows everything.
Yeah, as you said, it's just great to speak with someone that has similar ideas, but also, as you do, provides fantastic questions for me to think about.
Thanks.
So, on that note, we come to the end of the pod. And Kelf, I wish Brighton good luck in the UEFA Conference League. And also, sorry, I think Brighton are in the Champions, in the Europa or Conference League?
Europa.
So, okay, I wish Brighton the best in the Europa. If they were in the Conference League, I would say I wish them the best and I want them to win. But given Osasuna did not make it, but well, I wish them the best in the Europa League and a fantastic season for Brighton. And maybe, hopefully, this time around, they can actually go a step higher.
Hope so too. Thank you very much.
So, if you have listened right up to this point, thank you for listening to the Partido Partido podcast. And remember, nunca deja de creer, never stop believing.